Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building one of those classic drum and bass utility sounds that can quietly make a drop feel huge, an immense dial subsign with chopped vinyl character, built inside Ableton Live 12. And this is not just about making a sub that's loud. That part is easy. The real skill is making the low end feel alive, feel sampled, and still stay tight, mono, and safe on a proper system. So think of this as part sound design, part mixing, and part groove engineering. The goal is simple. A deep sign-based sub that follows the energy of an amen break, but with little chopped edits, tiny timing shifts, subtle pitch movement, and a bit of dusty instability. We want it to feel like it came off an old sampler, not out of a perfectly clean synth preset. Let's start with the core source. Create a new MIDI track and load operator. Operator is ideal here, because it's stable, precise, and still one of the best stock tools for sub work in Ableton. On oscillator A, choose a sine wave. Turn off the other oscillators so we're keeping the foundation pure. Set the voice count to 1 so the bass behaves like a true mono instrument. If you want a tiny bit of old-school glide, you can add subtle portamento, but keep it very restrained. We're aiming for movement, not wobble. Now write a simple MIDI pattern using the root notes of your track. If you're in something dark like F minor, you might hold F for 2 bars, then move to D flat, then E flat. Keep it musical, but keep it minimal. In this style, the sub should feel like it's reacting to the break, not just droning underneath it. One important detail here, don't make the notes too long. Start with short, punchy note lengths, more like 1/8 or 1/4 note stabs than sustained bass notes. That short phrasing is a big part of the amen style identity. It leaves room for the kick, the snare, and the chopped break transients. It also makes the bass feel like it's being performed in conversation with the drums. Now let's shape the chop. The vinyl character doesn't come from random effects at the end. It starts in the MIDI. So zoom in and start nudging note starts by just a few milliseconds. Some notes can land a touch late, maybe 5 to 15 milliseconds behind the grid. Shorten a few notes so they barely speak, then leave tiny gaps before other hits. That little push-pull is what gives it the feeling of being played by hand. Think about where the amen break is already busy. If there's a strong snare accent, let the bass breathe around it. If the drum groove is dense, the sub should get simpler. If the break opens up, the bass can answer with a little more rhythm. Treat the sub like percussion, not just pitch support. That mindset changes everything. A really useful trick here is to use note length as a groove tool. You can have one hit last 70 to 120 milliseconds, then another one cut off around 30 to 60 milliseconds. That alternating length pattern creates a chopped, sample-like feel without needing heavy automation. It's small, but it's powerful. Now for a bit of instability. If you want that slightly worn, vinyl chopped flavor, add a pitch MIDI effect before operator and use it very sparingly. You can use short pitch dips on selected hits, or automate tiny pitch movements during transitions and fills. Another option is operator's pitch envelope, but keep it subtle. Just a tiny little attack dip can make the note feel like a sampled bass hit being triggered from old media. If you want even more of that chop sampler vibe, you can build a second lane. Duplicate the bass clip or even the whole track, so you have one version for the clean sub and another for character accents. That second lane can be used for short fills, ghost notes, or little phrase swaps before a drop. You don't need to hear it all the time. In fact, it works better when it appears just enough to make the arrangement feel edited and intentional. Next, let's make sure the sub translates. A pure sine is beautiful in the low end, but it can disappear on smaller speakers. So after operator, add saturator. Keep it light. We're not distorting the life out of it, just adding enough harmonics so the bass can read on more systems. A drive amount of around 1.5 to 4 dB is often plenty, with soft clip turned on if needed. The idea is to preserve the fundamental while giving the ear something to latch onto. Then use EQA to clean up the results. Don't high-pass the sub unless you're removing unwanted rumble. If the low mids get muddy, especially in the 120 to 250 Hz range, make a small cut there. Be careful not to overdo it. In drum and bass, a little low mid crowding can happen very easily, especially when the kick, break body, and sub are all sharing space. Small, targeted EQ decisions are usually better than big dramatic moves. If you want a more audible edge without ruining the clean sub, split the character into a parallel layer. Keep one track as the pure mono sign, and make a second, quieter layer with filtered grit. On that layer, use auto filter to high pass it so the deep fundamentals stay out. Then add a touch of saturator or even a very light redux for texture. Blend it quietly underneath. This is a classic move. Clean sub for weight, dirty upper layer for presence. Now let's make the sub breathe with the drums. Add a compressor on the sub track and turn on sidechain. If you have a stable kick, use that. If the break is chopped too hard and the kick isn't consistent, you can create a ghost trigger from a duplicate break lane and use that instead. Keep the compression light. You're not trying to make the bass pump dramatically. You just want a little bit of space around the drum hits, usually around 1 to 4 dB of gain reduction. At fast tempos like 170 or 174 BPM, tiny ducking moves matter a lot. The break is already busy. If the sub is constantly sitting on top of the transients, the low end gets blurry fast. A little sidechain space keeps the groove tight and stops the kick from disappearing into the bass. Now let's push the sampled character a little further. Add a second layer or a dedicated character track. This can be another MIDI track with the same notes, or a resampled audio layer. Process it more aggressively than the main sub, but keep it filtered so it doesn't compete in the low end. You might use auto filter, redux, saturator, and utility to collapse the width to zero if there is any low-end content in it. This layer should not replace the sub. It should act like the dusty top coat on the sound. Think of it as the part that makes the bass feel like it's coming from a chopped vinyl source. Use it at the start of phrases, before a switch up, or on the last hit before a drop repeat. Little moments of character are often more effective than constant texture. This is where the arrangement starts to matter. Don't loop the same bass phrase for the whole track. A proper DNB drop needs movement over time. Maybe the first 8 bars are simpler, with the sub leaving more space. Then the second 8 bars add a few extra chops or pitch dips. Then maybe you cut the bass for half a beat before a fill, so when it returns, it feels bigger than if you had just made it louder. That idea of missing bass is huge in drum and bass. A brief silence can do more for impact than another layer ever could. The listener feels the draw, because the groove disappears for a moment, then slams back in. When you're mixing, keep the low end centered. Use utility to make sure the sub is mono. Keep anything below roughly 120 Hz firmly in the middle. If you're checking width, always do it in mono at some point. And don't forget to work at 2 volume levels. Loud playback tells you whether the bass hits hard. Quiet playback tells you whether the character still reads without the sub, overpowering everything. As a final polish, you can group all the bass layers into a bass bus. Add a very light glue compressor if needed, just enough to make the layers feel like one instrument. Then use EQ or saturator on the bus if you need to shape the combined tone. But again, keep it subtle. The point is not to squash the bass into submission. The point is to make it feel coherent. A good way to test your work is to compare 2 versions. Build one clean utility sub with minimal processing and tight note lengths. Then build a second version with more micro gaps, more start time offsets, a parallel grit layer, and a touch of pitch movement. Put them both against the same amen break and kick, then bounce them out and compare them on headphones, monitors, mono, and at low volume. You'll usually find that the best version is the one that stays disciplined in the low end, while still feeling human. If you want a quick practice challenge, spend about 10 or 20 minutes building a 2-bar amen style sub phrase in F minor or G minor. Keep one bar sparse and the second a little busier. A few tiny gaps. Add subtle saturation. Sidechain lightly. Then resample a section and chop it back in audio. Compare the MIDI version to the resampled version, and keep the one that feels more like a real played part. The big takeaway here is that an amen style subsign is not just a bass patch. It's a rhythmic support instrument. It should answer the break, leave room for the snare, stay controlled in mono, and carry just enough sampled attitude to feel authentic. When you get that balance right, the result is deep, dirty in the right way, and absolutely ready for a dark DNB drop. That's the sound. Tight, chopped, alive, and built to survive a sound system.